As you heard, the United States has decided to delay payment of $800 million in military aid to Pakistan. Joining us now, Eric Schmidt, a reporter who covers terrorism and national security issues for our partner, The New York Times. Eric, let's kind of go over the timeline of what's happened in U.S.-Pakistan relations since the Osama bin Laden raid. I mean, was that, I mean, granted, the relations between the U.S. and Pakistan have been strained at best. But did the Osama bin Laden raid signal a real change in those relationship?
It really did, Celeste. And just even backing up, as to one major event before the raid was the whole incident involving a CIA security contractor named Raymond Davis, who shot and killed two Pakistanis earlier this year. Obviously, besides the shooting itself, which Davis said was during a botched robbery, it exposed just how deeply involved the U.S. is in an intelligence standpoint inside of Pakistan. But the raid on bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad that killed bin Laden on May 2nd was important for several reasons, obviously most notably the fact that bin Laden was there, perhaps living there as long as 6 years, and has raised, you know, very serious suspicions on the part of American officials that certain people in the Pakistani intelligence service as well as the military may have known he was there. It was also hugely embarrassing for the Pakistani military that the U.S. military was able to stage a raid on this compound deep inside of Pakistan, remain in the country some 3 hours without the Pakistani military really knowing anything about it and being unable to respond to it quickly enough. So this is just one more major incident on top of things. And the most recent, of course, also was the implication by the United States that the spy service in Pakistan was also behind the murder of Shahzad, an investigative Pakistani journalist who is writing about many of these issues.
We're speaking with Eric Schmidt, who covers terrorism and national security issues for our partner, The New York Times. All right. So, Eric, how are we to interpret this? They're not canceling the aid. They're just deferring it, which would imply that they're hoping this threat will actually make Pakistan change something. What are they hoping to make Pakistan change?
Well, there's a couple of things. Some of the aid is being deferred, as you said, because in the case of, say, the American Special Forces trainers who have been working with Pakistani troops for the last 2 years, Pakistan actually, you know, basically kicked them out. And so the trainers had to take all their equipment with them. The United States very much wants to have those trainers in there to help improve the capability of the Pakistani troops fight terrorists along the border of Afghanistan. So that's one category. Another category is support that the U.S. Provides, basically reimburses Pakistan for deploying some 100,000 troops along the border with Afghanistan. That aid has been held up until the Americans can be sure that Pakistan is still on board. And there's a range of equipment, everything from night vision goggles to body armor to other things and surveillance gear that's been held up as the United States basically reviews Pakistan's commitment to fighting terrorism in the wake of the bin Laden raid. And that's some of the most sensitive issues right now.
Again, we're speaking with Eric Schmidt from our partner, The New York Times, about the United States saying that they're going to defer as much as $800 million in military aid to Pakistan. At the same time, though, Eric, we keep getting these seemingly contradictory headlines. On one day, you'll have them talking about how the United States and Pakistan are collaborating on a raid that ends up killing militants. And that same day, you have the United States criticizing Pakistan for supposedly, I guess, not protecting its journalists enough, or in the case of Shalim Shahzad, actually being involved in his death. How are we to interpret these headlines that seem to be at odds with one another?
It is confusing, Celeste, and it reflects a very contentious relationship that the U.S. has had with Pakistan going back over the last several years. What it underscores, however, is that the United States still needs Pakistan very much to help in the counterterrorism fight. There's just Pakistan, the U.S. cannot have soldiers on the ground in some of these areas where militants are still hiding. They need Pakistan to do that. The best the U.S. can do is fire drone strikes. At the same time, the United States is still very reliant on Pakistan for the routes to bring in supplies to Afghanistan, where the U.S. Has the major mission there. So, you know, it is confusing where you can have headlines one day with the U.S. criticizing Pakistan, the next day trying to patch things up. But that's very much the relationship, nature of this relationship right now.
And I want to play this comment for you. This is Pakistan's former ambassador to Washington, Malila Lodi.
This is another action by Washington to intensify pressure on Pakistan, but it will have a counterproductive impact because assistance is given to build influence. And by doing this, Washington is actually going to be left without any influence with the Pakistan army.
Is she right? Could this actually backfire in the United States and leave us with less influence than we had before?
It very well might, Celeste. And the indications are that Pakistan, because of some of its own internal pressures inside the military, coming both from the public as well as mid-level officers who are appalled at the revelations of just how close Pakistan's senior generals have been working with the United States over the last few years, is now having to distance itself from the U.S. military and from some of the programs that the U.S. military and intelligence services have been working with. So in the end, the pressure that the U.S. puts on Pakistan may well be counterproductive. And again, that's the fine line. How much pressure do you put on them to try and change their behavior, but not do so much that you rupture the relationship altogether?
Because these are two partners that in the end still need one another.
Absolutely.
Eric Schmidt covers terrorism and national security issues for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much, Eric.
You're welcome.